Welcome to another edition of the Zionsville Triathlon and Cycling Podcast. You've got Bill and Lauren again today.
Howdy.
Howdy, Lauren. So what do we want to talk about today?
So I figured we'd start talking about some of the tech in triathlon, tech and products and, you know, the stuff people like to spend money on. And some people have to spend money on the latest and greatest and all that stuff. But we're going to talk about
all the fun toys.
Differences. Yeah. But we got to break it up because cycling has the biggest chunk of technology and stuff. It has the biggest chunk of stuff. So we're going to break this into two of them. I think we decided. And then running and swimming might even be combined into one, because running, you got shoes. I mean, maybe we'll have Brandon back on it and he'll tell us there's more stuff.
Yeah, he
swimming,
can do that.
Got a couple things.
That'd be good.
So, yeah. And we can also have one for nutrition, although nutrition is really personal, but we can at least tell you what some of the stuff is and what works and what's on courses. That's a pretty quick conversation. Ironman has Gatorade. We're done.
Ta-da!
Done with that part of it. So, but we thought we talk about start with bike, because that, like I said, that's the biggest piece of equipment that you use. You know, it's really the only piece of equipment that, I guess, unless you count like running shoes, I guess is equipment, and, you know, swimming, you have goggles, but this is like the biggest piece of equipment with the most moving parts, the most things you can swap out, change out, make lighter, make more aero, do some crazy stuff, as we're about to learn in part one and two here. But I think part one is going to be really kind of where you're basic for your first timers, people just getting started, or maybe they've been in just for a little bit and they want to do just little upgrades. And today, you know, talk about kind of the tri bike versus road bike, because I know there's still a lot of people out there using their road bike, which is perfectly fine. Like I said, there's really there's no bad way to do triathlon.
And that's the way I got started, on a road bike. Yeah.
My first race was on an old road bike. In fact, within the tri bike versus road bike, we're going to talk carbon, aluminum, and steel. And I was on steel. I think you were on aluminum, weren't you?
I started out with aluminum, yes.
Fancy pants. I had steel.
Whatever. In my day,
it was made from the Titanic. I took it down with me, grabbed a piece of steel. So, no, yeah, it was old. But my road bike, which I still have, was really old. It was 80s. So that, then talk about your basic components. Like, the basic subcomponents, not really get into too crazy, but talk about, you know, when you're buying a bike, that's what actually changes the price. I mean, what the frame is made of alters the price, but then within that, your big price jumps are, what does it come with? And then lastly, I think for at least section one, we're going to talk about trainers, because that's usually something you need to get, because I guess around Indiana, what is it, maybe November through February, March, you're on a trainer.
Yeah, you have to be. And well, the winter months you can't ride outside. It's dangerous for one thing. And then
December, January, February, at least those 3 months, there's usually too much snow to really. And I know some people say, oh, I ride and everything. And no, that's awesome. But most people do not. And so this will give you a chance. And some people train even when it's 75 and sunny and a beautiful day out. There are people who train just on the trainer anyway. So we can kind of discuss that a little bit, although I think that's really more for a coach to kind of tell. Yeah, unless someone's really trying to be pro, I don't think training on a trainer all the time is good. I can't do it. I can tell you that right now.
That's tough. Yes.
Yeah. So, but yeah, let's start off with, and just like we said, the first part is tri bike versus road bike. You started on a road bike, although you did quite a few triathlons on your road bike, right?
Yes, I did. First several years, I was strictly a road bike. And that was mainly just because of budget concerns. And when I started, I couldn't afford a tri bike. But the road bike worked for me. It got me started. Yeah, it definitely got me interested in the sport, and I loved it and kept doing it. But the road bike was a pretty standard setup, aluminum frame, like you mentioned earlier. It didn't have any aero bars, didn't have any aero wheels, had no aero technology whatsoever. So
had the opposite.
Yeah, sounded the opposite.
Check out this parachute.
But it worked. It was a good bike. No problems with it. Relatively easy to maintain too. So that was nice. But
That is, for the most, well, I shouldn't say, I don't know if I should say that anymore. It used to be that, you know, tri bikes were close to as easy to work on as a road bike. But now they are, and in general, bikes are substantially more complicated. And there are some of these tri bikes you need a freaking degree from MIT to work on. Like, I want to meet the person who designed some of these things and repeatedly punch him in the face. Because I've had to work on a couple of these bikes, and it's just, you know, what the hell is wrong with you, man? Why did you make this? Is the most, it's just dumb. It's just dumb. So, with that said, but if you're not working on your own bike, take it in. Let the mechanics deal with it. Just know that they hate your bike for a little bit, because they make this stuff really complicated. And yeah, a road bike in general is easier to work on, yes, and easier really in everything. There's not as many moving parts, and it tends to not be as complicated because they're not worried about aerodynamics as much. Where great example, you know, seat posts on tri bikes, almost all of them, you won't find many that are just the round seat post, like the good old fashioned, you know, round seat post. Now they're all aero seat posts, and they're made out of carbon fiber, and you have to cut them, or you have to, like ours, you have to actually cut the seat tube mast, but you have to do some cutting on some carbon, and it's like, ugh, I don't want to screw this up, because if I do, shit.
that's not a good thing.
You even have the new BMCs, they actually have the seat tube, they have this carbon seat post, you can put it in, and then you can actually put something behind it. Now, with it in the regular seat tube, the seat tube that's built into the bike that you would see, it is not UCI legal. And what that means is if you went to do a time trial that was, you know, we had the UCI, which is like the triathlon, you know, when you go and you have the USA triathlon there, it's the same thing. This UCI is the cycling body. It's not UCI legal. So what they did is right behind that seat tube, they made it where you can add a part and then put the seat tube back or the seat post back there to make it UCI legal. Now, it stretches you out a little bit more, and you have to adjust, of course, but it takes two different seat posts. You can't use the same seat post for both. You have to buy another seat post because for the regular seat post, you have to cut it so short just to make it fit in there that the long one, I mean, unless you have to do that because otherwise you would not be proportional on that bike. You have to then have a second seat post now for the back one. So like I said, it gets a little more complicated. I guess that is a short version of that. But to give you like part, so for the difference, people always ask, what's the difference? Why can't you just change out the handlebars? Well, here's the difference. A road bike has about 72 degree angle found where the seat tube is. And so if you draw a line from the, you have a line that starts at the bottom bracket, you just draw it parallel to the ground, and then you take the seat tube. That angle is about 72 degrees. We're on a tri bike, it's closer to 78. So it's much more forward on a tri bike, moves you forward, makes you a little more aggressive, and creates just a better aerodynamic position. So that's really the big difference, because people always say, oh, there's no difference between them. Well, that's the difference. And it does help. Obviously, it's one of those things, you know, they brought it out for a reason and it's stuck for a reason. And that's most tri bikes, actually, almost. Really, all tri bikes are also time trial bikes, which is kind of really where it started. But then it's kind of just make it more tri specific. And a time trial bike is what the people in the tour use for the time trial stages. So they're very aerodynamic, aggressive. You have the aero bars and all that. So there's your big difference. From there, it starts to go a lot of different places. So you said yours was aluminum, right?
Mine's aluminum, or my original one was aluminum, yeah, and it was a road bike setup. So, yeah, the difference from the road bike to the tri bike was a big jump for me when I switched out. Eventually made the leap to the triathlon bike. But I did notice a difference in my times by just switching bikes. It wasn't because of a comfort issue. It was just, like you said, the seat angle or the tube angles, everything was different, more forward. So you like you said, you were in a more aggressive position. So you went faster. So, I did see a noticeable difference from switching to bikes.
Yeah. And it's pretty much exactly that. I always actually call it, you know, going in tri mode, or I'm going, you know, going aero. And so when I come down the aero bars, my speed will actually pick up about a mile per hour. I mean, I'll notice if I'm just on the bullhorns on a tri. So on my tri bike, just sitting up on the bullhorns, and then when I go down to aero mode, I'll be about a mile per hour difference. So it does make you substantially faster. That's what it's meant to do, of course. Now, if you get fit on the bike, I think road bike to tri bike, being fit on a tri bike, is the biggest difference most people will see in times. And then if you really want to get like power and watts and stuff like that, you'll the big changes, but it's also pretty expensive.
Right. But it does help. I mean, it will make you more efficient, yeah. Get more power out of your cycling cadence and everything. Yeah. So it's worth the, if you have the money, it's worth doing.
Yeah. And I would say, if you have the money, it's worth having both. I like having both there, because there are every once in a while, there's a race that a tri bike is, or a road bike is going to be as fast, but more comfortable, that like hilly, you know, hilly ones. I think I'm faster on my road bike. Eagle Creek, we have a local race, Eagle Creek, and it's 10 miles, so it's not very long, but I don't really see myself all that much faster on my tri bike there than I am my road bike, because it's so hilly that I just kind of use the road bike to my advantage on the hills, and then the flats, it kind of, you know, where, you know, tri bike on the flats is where I gain my time, so I think it just kind of evens out.
Now, your road bike versus your tri bike, they're both relatively, well, not relatively, but your road bike is a carbon fiber bike as well, right?
My new road bike. So I have two road bikes. I have my old steel bad boy, the old Ochsner, which is, if everyone looks that up, just look up Ochsner and tell me. That's homework for anybody. Someone gets points if they can tell me anything about them. They're very rare, and not particularly expensive rare, like just rare no one liked them, no one made them. Yeah.
Readily available. Yeah.
Yeah, and they made them in 85 and 87, I believe I have an 85. Anyway, old bike. You know, big chain rings up front, small little thing in the back. It was made for racing and all steel. And between that and my carbon road bike was night and day. I mean, I climb better, and just the bike is just, they're built better, and they're better bikes. Now, but my new road bike and my tri bike are both carbon fiber.
Okay, yeah, because when you mentioned you were climbing, you felt like you were climbing faster on your road bike versus your tri bike. I wanted to clarify that, because we were talking about the old workhorses originally. Yeah. So
no, and you're going to climb better on a road bike. And that, you know, and I've had people say the opposite. They say, oh, I climb better on my tri bike. And it could just be a personal thing. I've heard more people say they climb better on a road bike, though, because the road bike's kind of made to take it all. I mean, if a tri bike was really faster on everything, and think about this: when they did the tour, they'd all be riding on a time trial bike, which is a tri bike.
Right.
They'd all be riding that every single day. But on they take a road bike. Road bikes are more comfortable, and road bikes are faster on changing terrain.
Well, yeah, or tight curves and things where you're having to change your position a lot. So it makes more sense to be on a road bike at that point.
Right, right. So, I mean, they both have their thing. So, like, if I always tell you, if you have a road bike, if you're looking at getting a new bike, a tri bike, and you have a road bike already, and you can afford to have both, have both. If you can have both, that's really the best of both worlds. But if you're looking to get into it, you know, it depends on what you're going to be doing. If you're going to be riding mainly, if you're getting this bike for triathlon, you're doing triathlon, you're not going to be a road rider. You're not doing, like, the group rides and you're not going to do them very often, I should say, in you know, packs where you're drafting, then go with the tri bike. Spend the extra money. If you're going to be doing a lot of both, or maybe even more of the road riding, but you're going to mix in triathlons, go with the road bike, and you can put aero bars on it and see how you like it. Because riding in a group, we have a local group here that rides a big – well, our team rides, but a real big group called Nebo Ridge, which, by the way, Nebo Ridge is closing. For those out there, it could be a spoiler alert, or if you don't know, get in there. They have big sales right now. But they ride, and you have 50 in your pack, and they don't like triathletes on their tri bikes, because when they're in aero bars,
you can't get to your brakes.
Yeah. You can't get to your brakes, and when now electronic, usually in your bullhorns, you also can't shift. So you want you have to be able in aero bars, but that's kind of changed now with electronic shifting, which we get into. That'll be a whole different section, but. Yeah, so you kind of think about what you're going to be doing mainly for, and you may find yourself you know, thinking you're gonna do a lot more road rides with groups and not, and doing it by yourself, and say, oh, then you go, you know, maybe think about selling that and getting a tri bike. But I think if you're doing triathlon, you're gonna be serious about triathlon. And by serious, I don't mean a competitor. I don't mean you're gonna be, you know, trying to. Well, if you are gonna try to place, or if you're just gonna be serious about triathlon in the sense that you're gonna be doing quite a few of them, I think a tri bike is a good investment, because you're really, when it comes to apples. When you're comparing a tri bike, a carbon tri bike, and a car with 105, and a carbon road bike with 105, the price difference is nothing or pretty small for the most part.
Right,
you're not really paying more for the tri bike.
Right, exactly.
And some depends. You know, some you might pay just a little bit more, but you're not really paying that much more. And there's, when you get into higher end stuff, there starts to be a little more of a gap, like an Cervelo between their P5X and their S5, there can be a pretty big price gap. If you get top of the line of each, I think it's maybe $2,000 or $3,000, just is the gap between them. So, but you can spend $15,000 on a bike, and
not me.
If you got the money, yeah. I mean, if you got the money, I always say you can buy speed.
Right. Yeah.
People call it free speed, but I say you're buying speed. But you know what? If you've got a ton of money, if you're a millionaire out there and you just want something to piss away money on, yeah, go buy the nicest of everything.
That's
why
right.
not? I mean, you'll kind of look like a chump when you're getting passed by, you know, all these people on their road bikes. But you know what? You're going to be a little bit faster than you would have been if you just were on the regular stuff. So if you can buy the speed, do it.
Yeah.
But if you're a little more, you know, budget conscious like most people, then, you know, take your time. Look at what you want. Look how long you're going to have it. Look at what your needs are going to be, and decide between a road bike and a tri bike. And, you know, you can always feel free to email us with any questions about it. But I think you're going to be doing at least 3 triathlons a year on average. I think making the jump to a tri bike is going to make a big difference. I think it's really the way to go, especially with what you can get now. I mean, the technology in tri bikes now, in your low to mid level, and low isn't really bad. There's not really a low level. So the
right.
low level of tri bikes is what, you know, 7 years ago was the top end.
Right.
If not more like 5 years ago. I mean, the technology's just grown so much that you might as well get it. You've got essentially, it's kind of like Shimano does this thing with their components, which, you know, we were going to talk about components in a little bit anyway, but they, you know, it goes top of the line is Dura-Ace, which actually it's not called Shimano Dura-Ace. It's just called Dura-Ace. It's like its own brand within Shimano. Then there's Ultegra and 105. And I always say, you know, if you're looking for something, you know, that's going to a workhorse, get 105, because really what it is it's 3-year-old Ultegra and 5-year-old Dura-Ace. So, I mean, you're basically buying the technology that was, you know, three to 5 years ago, which isn't that different. And usually it's just not quite as light, but it's all the other technology is there.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's good.
Yeah. No, yeah. 105 is, it's like, and SRAM has Rival. It's a workhorse. It works. It works. And really what you're paying for in the biggest sense between those three, you're paying for weight. Basically, the less it weighs, the more it costs.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
You know, Dura-Ace always has some other, usually has some sort of cool technology on it that, you know, like, you know, it's, oh, now it's the, you know, vertical parallelogram rear, I don't know, I'm making this up right now. I can't think of anything, but you know, it's got something a little fancier that they just came out with that works a little bit better. And you know, then you start talking about the chain's going to be a little bit better. The Dura-Ace chains are a little bit better. And the cassettes are a little bit lighter and a little bit better. And, you know, you can get up there. And like I said, unless you really notice the difference between the stuff, or you, like I said, have a ton of money to spend, a lot of times you're good with that 105. That's most people's wheelhouse. 105 and SRAM Rival and Campy Veloce, if that's even still around. I have a bike with Campy, but I don't know if they still. I don't know if their names are all still the same, but which, yeah, brings, I guess, to the next point of the components when you're looking at the bike. 105 is what's going to be on a lot of stuff because it's kind of the workhorse. Shimano 105 and SRAM Rival. Those are your mid-level things. Your bike has Rival on it, right?
Yep, it does, and I've been happy with that. I mean,
you've changed out the chain rings, cassette, and chain. The chain you were way overdue for, but
yeah,
I mean,
and you
only changed it out once. And how long have you had it? 6 years, 7 years?
Too many years.
No, yeah, probably should have done it a little bit earlier.
I should have done it earlier. Yeah, you're right. And you've helped me with that. You've switched out a lot of those components for me, so that's been great. And it's
but I mean, you're only on the second set of components.
Right. Yep.
So, and maybe you should be on your third set by now, maybe, let's say, but I mean, still, and we're not talking big things. We're talking chain rings, cassettes, and chains, because they just wear. Mm-hmm. Those are your wear items. I don't think you change any other stuff. Yeah. You're perfectly happy with it, right? No issues really.
Right. Yeah. And just those little tweaks that you made for me on the bike, it just has helped with the shifting quite a bit. So it's made things better. So
yeah. So yeah, those, they work. You have to replace some stuff every once in a while. We have to on everything. But when you do, it's a lot less expensive. I mean, I think the Shimano Darius chain alone is like $100 or something like that. I mean, it's crazy. Same with like the top end SRAM Red chain is the top end. And you can actually get these ceramic chains, too, that are...
No, I haven't seen those. Okay.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think of the companies that make them. There's a company called Ceramic Speed that makes a bunch of stuff, too. They make... I'm actually trying to see if I can find it real quick right now while I'm doing that. But they make pulleys that are expensive. It's pretty crazy. I mean, the pulleys are pretty expensive that they make. They're bigger, and if you ever see them, you'd be like, oh, yeah, you know what I'm talking about if you saw them. So I'm trying to find Sport Products. In fact, there they are. There they are. And let's see if we can find pulley wheels. Oversized pulley wheel system. It was kind of taking us off. Yeah, $500.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
$500. Let's make sure everyone's hearing that correctly. 500 United States, American, good old dollar bills for their pulleys. Bill, you just bought replacement pulleys for your rear derailleur. How much did they cost?
Not that much.
$15 or something?
$15, yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. There you go. That just tells you this stuff is some of the stuff you can spend a ton of money on these. But here are the chains, 160, 145. 140, but these are for ceramic chains. I was curious.
What's the benefit of a ceramic chain versus a normal chain?
Yes.
Do you know, or is there a benefit?
It's supposed to be faster, lower friction. Lower friction is, I think, really what they're talking about here. And like with the ceramic speed pulleys, it's the bearings are so smooth that it doesn't take as much, you know, to move them.
Okay.
But this is, yeah, lower friction in the chain is the big thing. Let me see if I can look at it and actually tell you.
Are they lighter weight too, or?
Yeah. Well, the chain should be lighter weight, but I know the ceramic speed pulleys are. You know, actually, I'm not 100% sure about that. Only because plastic's pretty light. yeah, low friction, free speed, or help you save watts on racing distances. So basically, what it's saying is that for every pedal stroke, let's say you spend 1,000 units every pedal stroke of whatever thing we're measuring. And 1,000 is a lot, but to break this down, we're going to have to do it with 1,000. These are saying that every time you do that, you save half of one pedal stroke, every pedal stroke, and you're doing, you know, 10,000 pedal stroke. There's five. And so there's your 2 to 5 watts. It's stupid.
Okay.
I mean, it's not stupid. If you have the money, do it. Do it. Why not? Why wouldn't you, you know? Just spend that money. Let that money roll. You know, help the economy, all that stuff, but not my those purposes. I mean, so you can spend a ton of money, but you're really better off just going with the regular ones. Now, where the components, then you'll go up to Ultegra, and I'm or Force, so SRAM Force or Shimano Ultegra, and you have a little bit of a price jump. But where you're seeing your biggest price jump right now, so I guess we are going to talk a little bit about this. We won't get into what the difference is between them yet, but is when you go up to electronic shifting. SRAM has it on both their top two lines, Dura-Ace and Ultegra. SRAM right now just has it on Red, although I know it's coming out for Force here pretty soon, but I know electronic shifting is coming out for 105 pretty soon too.
Well, it's becoming more prevalent.
Right, it is, yeah. And I think the reason why is just how well it works. But again, that's a different topic. Don't want to get too far ahead of myself, so I could talk about electronic shifting for probably 3 hours. I won't, though. So when you're looking at those components, that's what you need to look at. So you get tri-bike versus road bike. And within that, carbon, aluminum, steel. Steel is not really an option anymore. Unless you're buying a used bike, you're really not going to find any steel. And I don't think you'll find a steel tri-bike unless you get one of the very early ones at that point in time.
Yeah, I haven't seen one in a long time.
you must be on some sort of special. I mean, at that point in time, you just think about don't buy any. If you're going to buy a steel, honestly, this is – if you're going to buy a steel tri bike, just save your money and buy at least an aluminum one. Aluminum's a great way to get started, although they're becoming less and less popular because carbon's becoming easier to manufacture. So right. As carbon gets cheaper to make, you know, it's aluminum. I think aluminum tri bikes will probably be out of, I mean, pretty much out of the market probably in the next, I don't know, 5 to 10 years.
Okay.
Carbon's getting cheaper. So yeah, look at that. Look at those. See what you can find. And then, you know, so look for carbon or aluminum. But if you can upgrade to carbon, I always say do it. I think carbon's just a little bit faster. It's a little bit nicer. And then look at the components and see what you're going to be doing with it. And try them out. Always ride the bike. Always ride the bike. Take it out for a spin. Usually you can bring in, if you have clipless pedals, you can bring in your clipless pedals and take it for a ride. You bring in your shoes, your clipless pedal, and your helmet. They'll usually let you take it for at least a spin around the block, see if it's comfortable for you, and then get fit on it. That's actually a pretty big one.
Yeah, fitting is a big point. We could do a whole thing on or a whole episode on fitting as well. But
yeah, we should actually get a fitter on to talk about that because it is such a big deal. I mean, if you bought the top end tri bike, top end, you bought a P5X tomorrow, or you bought your Ventum, you bought that tomorrow with all the goodies, all these ceramic speed things on there. And I bought the bottom of the line, but I got fit on my tri bike and you didn't, you know, I could be, and we were the same, let's say before that, I could still be faster because a fit is going to outweigh your aerodynamic benefits.
You're going to be more efficient. Yeah. And right. Use less energy to go just as fast.
Right. So always get fit. There's a lot of fitters out there. I always say find a fitter that allows you at least to come back maybe a couple times for tweaks without charging you. I don't like the ones that say, okay, it's $500 for fit and $100 every time after that for tweaks. Well, what if they got it wrong?
Right.
What if they're fitting you, they're fitting you in a studio and at most you're going to ride for half an hour in that position at most. Most don't even do that. So what happens when you go out for the 3, 4, 5, 6 hour ride and you're like, Jesus, I can't do this. This hurts. Well, you need to go back and tweak it a little bit and tell them, hey, $100 a pop, and that starts to, you know, it really starts to can add up. So you've got to, find one around here. There's a couple of good ones around here. There's a couple that people have just said nothing but good things about. I'm not going to name any names right now. We'll talk about that later, but there's one I know that we've had. All three people, he's changed their crank length and into a shorter crank. And all three took new bikes to him. And then he said, oh, got to buy a new crank. And I take issue with that. I don't think you have to change everybody's crank length. Two were triathletes. One was a road cyclist. The point of the crank length is to make it easier to run after. And for the cyclist, he's not running after. So why do you change his crank length? But I don't know. I'm not a bike fitter.
Right. Okay.
I don't know. But I will tell you this. If he told me to change my crank length, I would tell him no. And cranks are expensive.
Yeah. They're not cheap either.
I mean, they can be $500, $600, $700. They can be $1,000. I mean, you get up to the really big boys, you know, especially with the power meter. So if you've got SRAM Red power meter on there. Oh, hey, I need you to get a new crankset. Oh, okay. Yeah. Let me just go drop another grand. Well, you can sell this one. Yeah. For $400. So there's $600 coming. I mean, yeah. So I don't love that. I say make it work with what you have, unless it's really necessary, unless someone, like, you know, for some reason, some guy 5'4" has a 175 millimeter crank, you know, then yeah, probably don't change it. But I don't personally love the that. Anyway, there's lots of fitters out there. Find the best one for you. And if they tell you to change your crank length and think it's going to make a difference, do it. If you think it's going to work, do it. But then, so another thing I guess we should talk about kind of starting out is – the dreaded, everyone's least favorite, not everyone's, a lot of people's least favorite, the trainer. The good old, and man, how those have changed in technology. My first trainer was a mag trainer, so it had a little magnet to it or something like that. I mean, it was.
Oh boy, okay, I forgot about those.
And I think I had, so basically you could move this little dial on the side. Maybe three. There were still maybe three positions, and it moved the magnet closer, which made it harder. Very simple, very simple, very inexpensive, was probably, back then was probably $200 and probably was a pretty good one. Not the best, but a good one. Then came Fluid. Actually, I think original was Wind Trainer. I think it was just Wind. Right. I don't think there was even a magnet involved. But then came, the mag and the Fluid. Now we've got smart trainers out there. So we've got trainers for every budget, for every, you can get as cool and fancy as you want. What I like that is happening with trainers, you can spend a little bit of Fluid's kind of the thing. Most people go Fluid. That's your pretty standard issue now. Like the mags are kind of the cheaper ones. So you can get a Fluid and you're doing just fine. You'll be just fine. You'll be just fine in pretty much any of them. But smart trainers have actually come down in price as well. There's a company called Wahoo that makes one that you've probably seen before. It's the one where you actually take your rear wheel off and put your frame onto this thing. So they made a cheaper version of that called the Snap. That's the Wahoo Kicker. It's called the Wahoo Kicker Snap, which doesn't take your rear wheel off. You still keep your rear wheel on. It looks like a normal trainer, but it's a smart trainer. So it plugs into the wall. You've got an app on your phone. You can make it harder or easier. You can actually make a tailwind and downhill.
There you go. That sounds like a plan.
I don't know how I know this, but and that's actually the one I bought because I didn't want to spend a ton. I didn't want to spend thousands of dollars on the trainer, but I still wanted something that I could adjust because, well, it's nice. And eventually with the technology that I think is going to hit, which we're already kind of there, but I think it needs to be integrated better, but I'll be able to essentially set a workout with or somehow save the stats from a ride to Eagle Creek. So say we go do our Eagle Creek loop, which is like 30 miles, okay. Our big Eagle Creek loop.
All right.
Eventually we're going to be able to save those stats from Garmin, which kind of tells roughly tells the elevation change. And
right. They're basically recording that now. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but you'll have to do the, probably do a power, like they may have to have a power meter. And you'll eventually be able to take all that data, throw it onto a trainer and go ride Eagle Creek or go do our Elizaville route, which is pretty much flat. So that's just riding a trainer, I guess. But I mean, you can probably go do route. Eventually you're going to get to the point where you can go do routes you've already done. But, CompuTrainers essentially do that now. You can take routes from Ironman and they'll adjust accordingly because they took data somehow and plugged it in. I don't know exactly how, but these smart trainers will get, I think, to eventually where you can do it with your own rides. Bill, you go ride out in Colorado, let's say.
Okay.
You want to recreate your Boulder, Colorado ride. Well, eventually you'll be able to take that data, throw it in there, and do it. And it's going to be you basically do it on a trainer. You're like, oh, I mean, it won't be as pretty and
right,
and whatnot.
Yeah. You won't have the scenery.
Yeah, you'll be able to do it.
But the effort will be there, yeah.
Heads up, my doorbell's going to ring here and there, I'm pretty sure. I saw FedEx pull right in front of my house. So, So listeners, prepare yourself for a doorbell. The dogs are in there, so they'll freak out, be mad here. But anyway, sorry, what was I rambling about?
Our trainers, the different trainers and how we can the smart technology that goes with it. That
you use a Fluid, right?
Yes, I have a Fluid. Yep.
Okay, and that's what I had before. I mean, they work just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But a trainer is important. I mean, how often do you ride your trainer?
Basically, just in the winter months when we can't go outside. So
just when you have to.
Yeah, only when I have to. Exactly.
Only when I have to. That is.
But yeah. I don't have any bells and whistles with it. It just it's just a Fluid trainer, so I can change my gears, and that on my bike using my bike gears, and that will adjust how hard it is that way.
Right. But, and everybody has that essentially. Everybody can do. Yeah. I mean, you can still shift your gears on any of them.
Right. But what I've been thinking about doing is getting into that smart side and not necessarily jumping into the most high-end type thing that you were talking about before and getting a basic setup, but just having the ability to use an app like, or there's one that I'm thinking of, Zwift. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
Yep.
But,
oh, yeah.
That makes it a little more fun, a little more interesting to be inside. So I may do that this year just to keep things going in the winter months when you can get kind of bored just on a trainer, not going anywhere. So,
not going anywhere fast. Yeah. Well, I liked using Zwift, on my own. Now, the problem I ran into was our team does group rides together. We all get in someone's, we all go to someone's basement. We set up for the season and we ride and you put this, we usually watch, we watch a movie or we watch a TV series. We find something to watch. And the cool part about Zwift was when I tried, like when you're by yourself, it's great. You put it up on the computer screen and you're riding with other people around the world. Some of those guys are cheaters too. Remember, I was pushing one day at like 28 miles per hour and some couple guys passed me like I was sitting still, but whatever. No, but they have different courses you're riding. So if you throw it up on like the big screen, it's pretty neat. I had it up on my computer screen. So I tried a couple times within the group. Now, the reason I didn't really like it, it's not that I didn't like Zwift. I didn't like how it was working because everyone else is watching the TV show, which is in the background, of course, and I've got this screen I'm looking at. And I was like, okay, this just is, with a group, it just wasn't fun. But I could see if we all had it or there was some way to get
when you're in a group setting like that, it's a little a little more difficult,
Well, and everyone has to have technology. You either have a smart trainer. I believe you can do it with the Garmin speed sensor and cadence sensor. I think if you have those two things, maybe even just the speed sensor on your wheel, it'll sync up. There's different ways to sync it up. Okay. So you have to have a little bit of technology. You don't have to have the latest and greatest.
Okay.
But no, I did really enjoy it. It was pretty neat. It's like the others. There's a couple other programs out there now, and I can't think of it, of course. But I think Zwift is going to be the one that you know, eventually you're going to be able to upload courses on there, and you may already be able to. So if you already are available, you know, if you already can, you know, feel free to correct me. But I'm pretty sure you can put some courses on there, but you'll be able to put like any course on there that you have stats for. And I'm hoping that they'll kind of start taking more from like CompuTrainer and actually have Ironman courses on there, because that was. I'm not going to ride a full Ironman course on a trainer, but you know, if I can do
some of it,
an hour loop there, yeah.
There's
the hard section that's an hour. Ride that and see what's. I don't know.
Right.
Probably could do maybe a half Ironman course. I don't know. I can't stand a trainer for more than about an hour, hour and a half. I just can't do it.
It's
I get way too bored.
Yeah, it's tough to stay on the state a trainer that long.
Yeah, it's. It's rough. It really is. I personally, now, like I said, it makes it easy. Zwift things make it easier. Or watching a movie or watching TV, you know, find what works best for you. And if something works pretty well for you, great. Yeah, some people can get on those things and ride for 5 hours. Like, I'd rather ride in a trainer than outdoors. Well, okay.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Anyway, just anything to break up the monotony of just staying stationary for so long.
But the Zwift works. I can't think of the other. That's driving me nuts. I know there's another one I looked at. I can't think of what the name of it was, and it's going to drive me nuts. I don't know. But there was another one I looked at getting, and it's very, very similar. But I think, like I said, I think Zwift is really taking the lead. They're really getting popular, and I would recommend for sure for trying it, because they give you a free month or free week or free 2 weeks or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know what it, you can't access everything.
On the free trial?
Yeah. You can't, I couldn't access everything. And then I actually paid for it. Like it hit and then I didn't use it for that month. And I was like, oh crap. So I went back and had to cancel it. So I had a month. I didn't even, because it just didn't work in my setting with the team, but, there are times I have a setup in my garage where I have another trainer. Since I have all the Garmin stuff, I can use Zwift, and I have the smart trainer. I can just take the trainer back and forth and switch bikes out, because I have one dedicated trainer bike, which is that old steel bike. I may try to use it. I don't know. I hate trainers. I probably should have hit the trainer this weekend. You and I probably should both have.
Well, it was raining so much. Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't. Find a good trainer. You can get Riggin. You can get really nice. You can get fairly. You can probably find a used one for $50. Just find something and find out what works best for you. Some people only do trainers by themselves. Like they can't do it in a group. Some people can only do it in a group. Some people just really can't do training. I mean, I just can't do trainers. Although sometimes I can push myself. There are people who just cannot push themselves on trainers, or very, very short. And maybe if you find a group, make sure the group is good for you. Our group actually does some fun. Usually we watch either a TV show or a movie. We always watch something, but sometimes we actually do workouts for Easter. We had a bunch of those Easter eggs that pop in half, you know? like the plastic.
Yeah.
And we had different stuff in there. So one was 30 seconds right foot, as hard as you can, 30 seconds left foot, or a minute, or 2 minute sprint, or, there was one, it was a gradual increase. Like you go up a gear every 20 seconds or every 10 seconds until you start your easiest, and every 10 seconds go up or something like that. We had some sort of, and there's one thing like hop off and do, but anyway, we make it fun. We mix it up. So, that's a lot of, we make it different, and we always are watching something, and it's actually funny. We were watching something called, Black Mirror. I think it's called Black Mirror. Yeah.
Okay.
And it really weird show, people, really weird show. It's like a new age Twilight Zone, but we'd actually get to the point where we'd all finish riding and we'd all be sitting on our bikes, no one pedaling, just watching the show. We'd be so into it that we've all hit our workout or whatever it is. We're all just sitting on our bikes, just watching the show. So we have a lot of fun. Our team does that. And we actually, it's in a guy's basement. He has a bar. So everyone kind of chips in. We get a bunch of team beer. So afterwards we have a beer or two. And then every other week, somebody brings some sort of food. Sometimes every week, we have some food. So we have a lot of fun with it. And I think that's the other thing you have to do, is you have to have a lot of fun with it.
Right. Yeah. That definitely makes it go faster.
Yeah.
And you enjoy it more.
Try to have some fun with it. I guess whatever fun you can make out of it, have it. But if that's your thing, I guess there's. But if that's what you need, then try to find a way to do it. Like I said, if you have to do it on your own, that's fine too, because a lot of people have to do that. Just not for me.
Yeah.
can't do it. So, but that those are kind of like the big. That starting out, I think those are the big things you need to be looking at. Look at tri bike versus road bike. What you're going to be using it for. If you think the majority of your rides are your triathlons or training for a triathlon, then tri bike's the way to go. If you think most of your rides are going to be road rides with groups, you'll mix in a sprinkle of triathlon here and there, then maybe look at the road bike's probably going to be your better pick. And you can put clip on aero bars, which you can put on and off during the you put it on like 2 weeks before the race and ride with them, and then take them off after the race, go back to just regular road bike. Carbon and aluminum are the only two you can really get into now. You can get carbon do if you can't, aluminum is fine for starting out. You're going to have that for probably 2 or 3 years, and then you'll probably want something. And components, just, get what your budget tells you to do, but know that usually three down is the best place to be. It's got all the technology from the two above it. This is for every component line, whether it's Campagnola, Shimano, or SRAM, Third down is usually the best, because it has the technology from the first two, and it's substantially less expensive.
Right. Yeah.
When you go lower, then it starts to actually get like really, really old technology, and usually the quality control isn't there. So I would recommend at least going three down, if not higher. Don't go lower.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah.
Don't get that turny stuff. But you're looking for doing the really looking to train. You're gonna need a trainer, unfortunately, and spend again what your budget tells you can, and what's more important to you. Maybe the trainer is the most important thing to you, and you skimp a little bit. Instead of getting Ultegra, you get 105, and you get a nicer trainer. Whatever you think your personal needs are, and that's the most important part about any of this trial. Anything we're gonna talk about is what you need and what you can spend. I guess maybe not need, because a lot of it's want, but
usually what it comes down to.
Yeah, it's your pocketbook that dictates most of this. So get out there, and like I said, you can always email us with any questions about stuff, or if you disagree completely with what we say, then keep it to yourself. No, okay, you can email us, or if you have a topic idea, feel free to email us. But we're always kind of here to answer questions. I love talking shop. Obviously, I think I've talked about 95% of this one, because
that's what you're good at.
Well, that's what I'm good at. But I'm the bike guy, and so this biking stuff to me is like I'm into it. I know the latest technology. I really like the latest technology. I'm a big technology nerd. I really like that kind of stuff. You kind of are too, more with actual technology, me with like bike technology, because I can't keep up with the regular technology. That's way too confusing. you got that under wraps, but I really just like I like some of this new stuff. And, I think I'm funny in that I'm a traditionalist, but when something new comes along that works, I'll tell you. So I did not like electronic shifting at first. And now, as you'll find out in our next episode, it's all from here on out. It's all I'll ride. If I don't have my bike now, I won't put it on yet, but I'll still ride it. But eventually, it's probably all I'll ride.
Okay.
So that's the next. That's the next one. As you can see, I'm excited to talk about electronic shifting. Evidently, this is, you know, let's finish up part one here, the bike section. But no, we're gonna have a part two, and then we're gonna have parts on the swimming, the biking. And swimming, running, and nutrition is going to be very just more talking about the different stuff out there, not telling you what to use, because there's so much stuff out there.
There's a lot.
So much. Till the next time, I guess we'll give a shout out to one of our sponsors, WRG Digital, who does our website, does a lot of our pictures, helps with the podcast, basically anything technology related, photo related, website related, they are on top of, and they do a fantastic job. I'm sure you have something nice to say about them, but
they're good.
Yeah, they're good. And their website is
it's wrgdigital.com.
Oh, it is .com. Okay, just making sure it's .com. Yeah. It seemed too simple. It seems like if I said that, you're like, no, it's something else.
It's totally different. Yeah, okay.
Any of your website needs and basically anything technology, give them a call. They're fantastico. Excellent. All right, until next time, where we talk more bike stuff.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for listening.